Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. God bless you and heaven smile upon you. It's great to be with you today. We're thankful to God that you're able to be up and about and able to tune us in. The Hope Forum, brought to you every Saturday morning by the Church of God in Christ of the Commonwealth Jurisdiction, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, centrally located. And we're under the auspices of Bishop Benjamin Ravenel, who is the president of Hope, Bishop David Scriven, who is the he's the theologian that we call the theologian. Gives us, inspires us, helps us do a better job than we do without the help of those two. We're grateful to be present with you today, and we're so thankful that God has blessed us. A lot of snow here. I don't know where you are, but a lot of snow here, and it's chilly outside. So if you're going somewhere, please be mindful that the road is slippery, maybe icy in some places. So drive careful, watchful, and prayerful. God will bless you in your journey. We're just blessed and highly favored. So let's go to our roll call, and then we'll get into the program. The At the Cross Church is pastored by Pastor Christian Robertson. The Bible Way Church, pastored by Pastor Robert Woodall. Emmanuel Church is pastored by Bishop David Scriven. The Faith Temple Church is pastored by Ishmael Garcia. The City of Refuge is pastored by Pastor Sims. Grace Tabernacle is pastored by Reverend Walter Green. Lingo Memorial Church is pastored by the Bishop and President, Benjamin Ravenel. The Millennium Neighborhood Church is pastored by Pastor Truman Marshall. Bible Christian Fellowship is pastored by Pastor David and Verna Green. The Up on This Rock is pastored by Elder William Hines. The Family of God is pastored by James Gamble. The Mount Calvary is pastored by Superintendent Dr. Dot Gilmore. And the Shekinah Glory is by Asuka Effia. We're highly favored to have them aboard, and they help us to maintain our status and keep us on the air and keep us in a right manner. We're thankful to God for everything done and for what He's going to do. We are called Hope, a holiness organization, a Pentecostal endeavor. Holiness organization, a Pentecostal endeavor. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Highly favored about 20, almost 30 years, that the brothers in the brotherhood decided that they would not relinquish their fellowship. They would stay together regardless of what the cost of it was, and they would prove to everybody that Jesus' prayer had really meant something to us and for us. Father, make them one as we are one. And so we have decided that together we stand. I like John Donne's poem when he said, "No man is an island, no man stands alone. Each man's joy is joy to me, and each man's grief is my own. We need one another, and so we will defend each man as my brother, and each man as my friend." And I think that it was so appropriate for the time and for the occasion, and decided that we were going to stick together and become one. I was so grateful that I led to become a part of that, and we're blessed and highly favored. Let's go before the Lord in prayer and believe God for great things today. I weren't able to get out to the other studio, doing it from a temporary studio, and we're just trusting that wherever you are today, that there's a word, and that you will blessed and highly favored by hearing a word of the Lord. Let us pray. Precious Lord, take my hand. Lead me on. Let me stand. I'm tired. I'm weak. I'm worn. The storms through the night. Lead me on to light. Take my hand. Precious Lord. when my way grows drear, precious Lord, when my life is almost gone, hear my cry, hear my call. Hold my hand lest I fall. Take my hand, precious Lord, and lead me on. We're so grateful, Father, for this wonderful day that you have given us, for this time that we can come before you, people, to say that we love you so much, appreciate you so much. We're so thankful that you loved us, that you were willing to give your only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth, and that's where we stand, we believe, should not perish, but have everlasting life. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Oshay Abba. Thank you. Thank you. Osei Dehesh. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Lord, we love you and we praise you. We worship you. We adore you. You're wonderful. You are all in all, man. Thank you. Thank you for the time that you have come to know you and to love you and to experience your goodness, grace, your mercy. Thank you for have experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit, being forgiven of our sins, being washed in the blood of the Lamb. Thank you. Thank you for the Word of God that quickens us, enlightens us, gives us eternal life. Thank you, Father. Thank you so very much. Thank you for the healing of our bodies. Thank you for the lifting up of our spirit. Thank you for the encouragement. Thank you for the will of God and for the mind of Christ. Thank you, Father. Thank you for having a desire in us, for having the Holy Spirit in us to lead us and guide us, and to take us on to a more noble life. Thank you. We thank you for the pastors and all of the preachers and teachers, evangelists, missionaries. Thank you for all in authority everywhere, our government, our president, our governor, our mayors, all leaders everywhere, God. We thank you for them. Thank you for them, God. And we pray, oh God, that you would continue to lead them in a noble, that they will live a godly and a sober life. And in all of our ways, we acknowledge you. We know that you will direct our path. We pray for our governing beings, O God, that they would listen to you and be, remember that their steps are ordered by you. Even though we don't always understand the way that you would lead us, but we know that we're on our journey to the promised land. And we thank you, Father. We thank you. Ask that your choices and blessings be upon your people everywhere, for those that are in convalescent homes, for those that are in hospitals, cities, in our nation, for those that are incarcerated, God, we ask your choices. We pray that give them the ability to understand that your love is not boxed in. Your love is not one-sided. Love is not prejudiced. But you so love the world that you would give your only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in you will not perish, but have everlasting life. So we thank you. Father, we just glorify your name, magnify you. We thank you for every door that's open in your name. Every door everywhere that's open in your name. Everywhere that they are proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. Thank you for those doors. We ask that you would just continue to bless your people everywhere. And remember, O Lord, that we are dust. Have mercy upon us. Forgive us our sins, our trespasses. Forgive those who have trespassed against us. Then lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, and will be forever and ever. And we glorify your name. Amen. Amen. God bless you, and heaven smile upon you. Let's go today and let's read what the Word of God will say to us. From the book of Romans, well, 5th chapter, Justification by Faith. I'm reading the Expository Bible, Study Bible, by that was altered by Jamie Swagger. I thought it was a pretty good commentary on the books, on the chapter that we are reading, and I think I'd like to read that for you. Therefore, being justified by faith, this is the only way one can be justified, refers to faith in Christ and what he did. We have peace with God, justifying peace, through our Lord Jesus Christ, what he did at the cross, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation work patient experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us. Look at that. Let's do that again. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Listen to that again. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Listen to Jimmy Swagger's commentary. Jesus died for those who bitterly hate him. Isn't that something? He died while we were yet sinners. Christ died for the ungodly. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. We read the commentary. If Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, how much more will he do for us now that we are redeemed, and thereby reconciled to him? Now that we belong to him, how much more will he do for us, since he has purchased us, he bought us back, and given us life, and given us life and hope, and brought joy to our soul? How much more then, now that we have been justified by his blood, we are justified now, and the blood of Christ stands as the guarantee for that justification. We shall be saved from wrath through him, wrath of God which is always manifested against sin. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, the only way we could be reconciled, this verse shows, this verse shoots down that Jesus died spiritually and doctrine. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Does not speak of his perfect life, but rather the pouring out of his life's blood at Calvary. Not only so, but we also joy in God. Through our Lord Jesus, we are to boast of our reconciliation to God, for it is a true confidence by whom we have now received the atonement and reconciliation. When I looked at that, I thought about it, and what we're experiencing is that Jesus died in our stead. We were born in sin, shaped in iniquity. In sin did our parents conceive us. God loved us that even when Malachi, when the Old Testament scriptures, heavens shut up, there was no open vision from God, God yet loved us. When it had vexed his spirit and grieved his heart. But that's what grief and vexation is all about. It's about love. It's about a love that just don't quit, don't give up. It's a love that causes us to expect great things, sometimes from those who are not able to give it. but we do expect it. The Webster Dictionary says expectation, said hope, is an expectation of something that might happen or can happen. And we have our Bible give us even in Romans 5, which says that hope maketh not ashamed. Meaning this, that the hope that we have in Christ Jesus is not might or can. It will. Whatever the Lord has spoken, it will come to pass. And we have that blessed hope, that blessed assurance. It may not come when you want it, but I guarantee you, He's always on that. The Lord promises in His word, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. John 14:1 says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me in my Father's house. Many mansions, not so I would told you. God is a God that He will not lie. He cannot lie because He's God. Whatever He said, I won't say it again, whatever He said, it will come to pass. Hope maketh not ashamed. You won't be ashamed ever for the hope that you have in Christ Jesus. Though sometimes it looks like it's never going to happen. Sometimes it feels like I'm all alone. Sometimes you're hurting in your heart, you're crying. Day in and day out, tears are flowing. Pain of heart, pain of emotion, pain of mind. And feels like, why in the world should I continue on? Because God said, write the vision. Make it plain. Though it tarry, it will come to pass. So we have that blessed hope that Jesus is going. I like to sing that song that we always sing in church whenever we get through and go to that point. God's going to everything starts, even though the waters has to be parted. So lift up your head. Don't be brokenhearted. God is going to finish what He started in you. For the good work that He had begun in you, He will also finish it until the coming of the Lord. When I think about that, I think about a song which defeats the enemy. A song which defeats the enemy. Imagine for a moment that your city is surrounded by enemies, forces who aim to destroy you. You're aware that enemy sympathizers live and work in the city with a view to undermining the city's defense. And suppose you discover that there is a song which the enemy and their sympathizers cannot tolerate or approach. Whenever they hear it, they pull back and run the other direction. Isn't it certain that you would want to learn that song, and after you learned it, you would sing it when you went to bed at night? When you got up in the morning, you would sing it on your way to work. Whenever you were among strangers, and as your confidence grew, you would even venture outside the city and sing it as you walked boldly through the enemy lines of your way to another town. The more deeply embedded in your mind the song became, the more steady and deep and serene and fearless your life would become. Others would see and hear and learn the song from you. And in the end, you would conquer the enemy, and there would be no threat at all. And so the song that we sing just now, God is going to finish everything He started. When that song began to resonate in your spirit, in your being, and you began to realize that, okay, no matter what I'm going through right now, no matter what the trial may be, no matter how great the problem may seem to befall us, I know that God is going to finish what He started. And He said, listen, I would that you be in health, and I want you to prosper even as your soul prospers. When I don't see my way through, I don't see enough money to really hold me. I don't see enough money to keep my house, my car. I don't see enough money. I don't have a job anymore. I don't know where I'm going to get my next meal from. But I have an assurance that if God's going to finish what He started, He would that I be in health and prosper, even in my soul prosper. How am I going to ever achieve this when I can't get a job? I can't see a door is opening for me? Friends and loved ones are turning their back on me? Well, I called the psalmist up and asked the psalmist, "Psalmist, do you have a word for me?" He said, "Yes. Christian, there's always a word for you." And he says, "When my mother and my father forsake me," he said, "the Lord took me out." Glory to God. My friend, my young friend, my comrade, wherever you may be, don't you know that God loves you so much that he would not leave you? Can I share a story with you that I read? And it's about being a stranger on a lonely road. It says, this comes from Acts, the 8th chapter, the 26th to the 40th verse. It says, after Peter and John went back to Jerusalem, angels spoke to Philip, told him to leave Samaria and to go on an errand. Philip did not know just why, what the errand would be, but he rose up at once to obey the angel's command. See, when you have hope in God, whatever God says do, that you will do. Because the love of God constrains us to do the will of God. Along the dusty road he traveled, going south till he came to Jerusalem. Still further south he went, not stopping to visit the apostles or any other friends in the city. Now the road began to lead toward the desert of Gaza, and few people went that way. But Philip was not only traveled on the road that day. Ahead of him, riding in a chariot, was a stranger who had come many, many miles to worship God at the temple in Jerusalem. This stranger was from the land of Ethiopia, and he was an officer of the house, officer of the queen of the country. He had heard about the true God, and he wished to become a worshiper of that God. He had come all the way from Ethiopia, and now he was returning again to his homeland. God saw the desire in this man's heart to worship him in the right manner. He knew the ruler in Jerusalem would not help the man to understand the true religion, so he sent Philip on his errand to preach to this stranger. Philip saw the chariot. God, by his Spirit, caused him to understand why he had been sent. So Philip ran to the chariot. While in Jerusalem, this Ethiopian had bought a copy of the scripture to take with him to his own land. And as he rode along the road, aloud he read aloud from God's book. Philip came near. He heard the man reading from the prophet that Isaiah had written. Philip walked alongside the chariot and listened. Presently, he asked, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And looked up quickly, seeing Philip replied, "How can I understand when I have no one to teach?" He then invited Philip to ride with him in his chariot and tell him the meaning of the strange word. These are the words which he read of Isaiah's prophecy. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter. The lamb before his shears is dumb, so he have opened not his mouth. His story who can tell? For his life is taken from the earth. About whom is this prophet writing, asked the Ethiopian? Is it of himself or some other man? Then Philip began at this very scripture to preach to him about Jesus. Isaiah had used these words to describe how Jesus would be treated by his enemies. The story of Jesus was new to the Ethiopian. He listened eagerly and believed every word of the strange preacher who rode beside him and shared it. He knew now that his long journey to Jerusalem had not been made in vain. Listen at it. He knew now that his long journey to Jerusalem had not been in vain, for he was learning the very thing he had longed to understand. God will not disappoint you. Hope will not allow you to be made ashamed. As they rode along the highway, they came to a place where there was water. The Ethiopian thought at once of what Philip had told him about baptism. So he said, "See, here is water. Why may I not be baptized?" Philip answered, "If you believe with all your heart, you may be baptized, just as others who believe." And the man replied, I do believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. How about you today? How about you? Where are you? Are you halted in the spirit? Are you struggling with a desire? Or have you really come to the point where you can? The Bible said that Jesus gives us a measure of faith. And all we have to do is hear the word. For faith come by hearing and hearing by the word of God. If you listen to the word of God and realize, look at what he said. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter. As a lamb before his shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was then becoming the ransom. He was becoming the redeemer. He was becoming the Lamb of God that would be slain from the foundation of the world. He was fulfilling the calling upon his life. The Bible said, living, he loved us. Dying, he saved us. Buried, he carried our sins far away. And then rising, he justified us and freed us forever. One glorious day, he's coming back again. What am I doing? Where are you? How are you responding to the word of God? Are you listening? Are you expecting to hear from God? Do you have, and I know that you do, because the Bible says nobody comes unto the Lord except God draw him. You wouldn't be listening to this program this morning if God hadn't got your attention. So I say to you, have you come to that place in life, and would you right now say as the Ethiopians, I do believe that Jesus is Christ. I do believe that Jesus is God. I do believe that he loves me. I do believe. Let me read it. I do believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's what the I do believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is the Son of God with power. And the Bible said, whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you would like to be saved, if you would like to receive Jesus Christ as the Lord of your life, if you would have to like to have a brand new life, and if you would like to want to worship him, the Bible says they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. If you would like to worship him, would you pray with me? Let's pray. I was going to finish this subject and matter, but if you would like to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can pray with me right now. Father, I'm a sinner. Ask that you would forgive me. I acknowledge my sin. I acknowledge my transgression. I acknowledge that I'm born in. I acknowledge that I've gone. Have mercy upon me. My sin. Then come into my heart, Lord. I accept you as my personal Savior and Lord. I want a brand new life. I want a new opportunity. I want another chance to let you know how much I love you and how much I appreciate you. I want to worship you. I want to worship you in spirit and in truth. Come into my heart. Baptize me in the Holy Spirit. I want to be a child of God. I want to be. In the name of Jesus, I accept you as my Lord and my Savior. And I believe that you have raised Christ from the dead. And I believe that by accepting him as personal saving Lord, I am now saved in Jesus. That is a prayer of faith. You have believed that. You prayed with me. I believe that you are born again. And I believe that all you need now is to realize I need to be taught. How can I have no man? Philip joined him in the chariot, opened unto him the scripture. I'll say to you, the Bible teaching, church, sit in that ministry, acknowledge that pastor, those that are, let them know. Become a Christian. Talk the word of God. Positively, tell you right. Ever have always Christ, the Holy Spirit, guide you. Once you believe God for that. Okay? As they rode along the highway, they came to a place where there was water. He opened thought at once that Philip had told him about baptism. See, here is water. Why may I not be baptized? Philip asked. See, with your heart, you may be baptized just as others who believe. And replied, I do believe. At this command, the servant who drove the chariot to stop, he stopped out with Philip and went down with him into the water. And Philip baptized him there. When they were coming out of the water, when they were coming out of the water, the Spirit of God caught away Philip, and the Ethiopian saw him no more. But he went on his homeward journey, rejoicing because he had found the true religion. Now he knew that his sins were forgiven through faith in Jesus' blood, and now he too could tell others about the gospel story. Why? Because he had believed and he had received. After this happened, Philip came to a place called Azotus, and he went and preached the gospel in every city along the way, until finally he came to Caesarea, a city on the shore of the Mediterranean. I was so moved by that story, because we think about Hope, the Ethiopian eunuch on his way back to his home country, very disappointed, because he had been to Jerusalem, he had been to Jerusalem, but he had not received the message of God as he wanted to, because he didn't know then that he could worship God in spirit and in truth. But when Philip joined them, because Philip had been with God, he could share with others what happened. Eunuch had received, had believed, and he went back to tell others. So you want to do that. Paul struggled. Is it certain that you want to learn this song? After you have learned it, you would sing it, right? You got up in the morning. This song would be so great that it would conquer your enemy. There would be no threat at all. Paul struggled for the Colossians. Paul began chapter 2 by calling attention to how hard he struggled for the Colossians. I want you to know how greatly I strive for you, and for all those at Laodicea, and for all those who face. We know from chapter 4, verse 10 and 18, that Paul is in prison and writing. So the striving and perhaps writing and fearing Titus and Onesimus to minister in his absence. In verse 2, Paul tells us the reason why he's calling them to struggle, namely that his hearts may be encouraged. Paul believes that know how he is suffering for them. My suffering for your sake, that will be encouraged and strengthened in their faith. It's amazing how that ever God touch your life and bring you out of darkness and marvelous light. How greatly you can be and filled with compassion. And that's what Jesus is all about. And he gives us the love that he has. The scripture said, let this mind be in you. It's also in Christ Jesus. He thought it not to be equal with God, but he humbled himself and became obedient to death, that he might bring others to the knowledge of God and in the presence of God, that we might be given the kingdom of God. So it is major that we understand that struggling is not an enemy to us. Songwriter said, and I quote, I've learned how to suffer. I've learned how to. I've learned that if I suffer, I shall gain eternal life. When I see Jesus, when I see Jesus, all of our suffering all of our heartaches, all of our disappointments, all of our tribulations. Jesus. And so, telling them, thinking that if they knew how greatly he suffered, they wouldn't mind the way they're faring so greatly, and that they would know the love of God. How does this work? He said that it works through a knitting together. That their hearts may be encouraged. That they are knit together in love. I think he means that their hearts are knit together with their hearts and with each other. In other words, by telling them of the suffering and struggle, he hopes that they will feel themselves drawn to him and to each other. Cords of love. So Paul is trying to create a beautiful quilt by sewing the parts of individuals together with the threads of love, especially his own love, as he suffered there in prison. Strong affection and stronger understanding, but there's something very unusual about this one. When love knits together, hearts together into a beautiful quilt, love is not merely stronger affection, but also stronger understanding. This is one of the great and strange facts of Christianity. Deep and confident understanding of Christ comes not merely from thinking, but also from loving. Notice how verse 2 says, Paul, their hearts knit together in love. Why? To have all the riches of assured understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery of Christ in all the treasures of wisdom. In other words, the way to get assured understanding about the mystery of God, namely Jesus Christ, the treasure chest of wisdom, is to have your hearts knit together in love with other believers. The deepest and most certain insight into the character of God and the wisdom of God comes in the heads that are attached to loving hearts. Comes into the heads that are attached to loving. When we think of what Paul is writing, also to the church at Rome, believers that he said, therefore, being justified by faith, going to the next. This is the only way you can be justified. Justifying peace, what he did at the cross. We have access to God. Wherein alone we can stand. Hope that is warranted, guaranteed. Our faith in Christ always brings glory to God. Anything else brings glory to God, which can never be accepted when we share his glory. Another, we know that they cannot accept it. A very selfish attitude, a selfish lifestyle. But when we have faith in God and love for one another, I was thinking that whenever he was talking there, that the love of God that shed abroad in our heart causes us to feel like Christ did. When Peter betrayed Jesus, his love for Peter never wavered. His love for Peter never wavered. Even in later time, after he had come back, he said, I'm going to Jerusalem and tell Peter, tell my disciples and meet me and tell Peter. Isn't that amazing? What a wonderful Savior we have. Thomas, why did you doubt? Here, put your hands in my hand. Look at that. See? Pierced in my hand. Look at my feet. They're pierced. Here, put your hand in my side. We called him Doubting Thomas. I am. And others have said he just wanted to be sure. But Jesus never wavered. He just shared with them that there's a greater expectation. When you hope, as the dictionary, Webster in particular, that's what I read, that hope is something that can or may happen. The hope that we have in Christ is it will. oh my, it's not, our expectation is much higher. Our expectation is much greater when we hope in Christ. Because the hope in Christ will not make us ashamed. Peter went on to be a great advocate for Jesus Christ. As you know, that whenever it came time for him, he was martyred. He said that he was not worthy because of his deeds that he had done. Out of hope, without hope, he said, go ahead, if you're going to crucify me, but do it upside down, because I'm not worthy to be upright like he was. Nevertheless, he was willing to give his life because he knew that to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. Our hope, our expectation is great. We have a blessed hope in Jesus Christ. I like Paul's writing because he says so much about our life in Christ. He gives us so much to work with when you talk about hope. We're justified. We're justified by faith. We're put in right standing by faith. We who were alienated from God, from the commonwealth, but have been brought nigh unto God. Paul says this, by whom we have access by faith into this grace. We have access to the goodness of God by faith in Christ, wherein we stand, wherein alone we can stand, and rejoice in hope, hope that is guaranteed of the glory of God. Our faith in Christ always brings glory to God. Anything else brings glory to self, which God can never. And not only so, but he said we glory in tribulation also, in the fact that tribulation do not hurt us, knowing that tribulation work patient, points to the characteristic of a man who is unswerved from his deliberate purpose and his loyalty to faith, even by the greatest trial and suffering. Tribulation work patient. And the patient gives us experiences, points to an end result and experience hope, present the natural product of an approved experience. The things that we go through in life, the places that we have ventured to, the events that has happened in our life. I think most of us have experienced some great things in life, loss of a job, maybe loss of a home, maybe loss of a loved one. Maybe lost your desire to do. I met some people who call them backsliders, who have lost their way. Just couldn't see waiting as long as you would have to wait. God. They couldn't see the good in the wait. But patience gives us experience. And most of the time, I think it takes away our own selfishness. I see that raising children, having family, that if you give a child everything he wants, he becomes selfish. And he becomes spoiled. And whenever you want him to do something else, different, he can never comply with it because he's been spoiled to have it his way whenever he wanted it and however he wanted it. And the Lord don't want us to be spoiled brats, spoiled children. He wants us to be obedient. And I've heard just recently how that Word of God came and says the love letter of God is obedience. If you want to know how much, if you want God to know how much you love him, then he said, obey him. If you be willing and obedient, then God said, I'll give you the good of the land. But if you can't be willing and obedient, then you can't experience the greatness of God in his fullness. And hope makes not ashamed. In effect, tells us that this is not a false hope, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. God's love brings all of this about by the Holy Spirit, which is given us. All of this is wholly a work of the Holy Spirit. It tells us that without God, you can do nothing. Without God, you can do nothing. Without the Holy Spirit, it's impossible for us to live a godly, sober, and righteous life. This Ethiopian eunuch knew and understood this. So he left Ethiopia and came all the way to Jerusalem to find out how he could worship God, spirit and in truth. But that's what he wanted to do. He had heard about the true and living God, the real, true, and living God. Knowing that in many areas, life had presented to him a lot of idolatry. But here he comes to a place where he wants to know the true and living God. Hearing, as the Bible said, faith come by hearing. So yes, stop by the church sometime. Something may be said that will help you along the way. Stop by the church sometime. If faith come by hearing, you need to. And hearing by the word of God, you need to hear. You can't hear without a preacher. He can't preach except he be done. So therefore, it goes back to the fact, you need the Holy Spirit. If you're not been baptized, it's easy. For the Bible said he gives it to those who pass. If you just ask the Lord, Lord, I want to be your child. Baptize me in the Holy Spirit so that I can worship you in spirit and in truth. For when we were yet without sin, without strength, before we were saved, in due time, at the appointed time, Christ died for the ungodly, the entirety of humanity fell into this category. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, but not many would do such. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. Some few might. But God commended his love toward us. Christ dying for the ungodly is a proof of love immeasurable. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus died for those who bitterly hated him. Much more then, if Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, how much more will he do for us now that we are redeemed and thereby reconciled to him. Being now justified by his blood, we are justified now, and the blood of Christ stands as a guarantee for that justification. Put in right standing. Put in right standing. We have been put in right standing. We were in bondage to sin. The blood of Jesus on Calvary was the price that had to be paid. Therefore, Jesus took it upon himself and paid the price. That we might have a right to the tree of life. He paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but he washed us whiter than snow. While hanging on that cross, the words of Jesus to those who bitterly hated him, and those that would crucify him, those that would slay him, and those that would push the spear into his side to assure that he was dead, those that would nail his feet to the cross, and those that was not commanding that he be said unto them, unto God, Father, forgive them. They just don't know what they're doing. Oh, we are so blessed, highly favored, to have such a Christ. And not only so, we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We are to boast of our reconciliation to God, for it is a true confidence by whom we have now received the atonement, our reconciliation. We have been born again, born of the Spirit, washed in His blood. This is our story, this is our song, praising our Savior all the day long. We are coming to the close of our broadcast today. There's a song that goes with our lesson text that I think that might be just a blessing to you. Bishop O.T. Jones Jr. always sing this song. Sometimes it is a message. He would always sing this song. Just blessed us so greatly because he was always leaving us with a word of hope, always leaving us with an assurance. God had not forgotten us, that God had not given up on us, and that God would never leave us. We share that with you. I've seen the lightning flashing, I've heard the thunder roll. I felt sin breakers dashing, which tried to conquer my soul. I've heard the voice of my Savior. He bids me still fight on. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. The world's fierce winds are blowing, temptation sharp and keen. I have a peace in knowing my Savior stands between. He stands to shield me from danger. All my friends are gone. He promised never to leave me. Never to leave me alone. In affliction, valley I tread, road of care. My Savior helps me carry a cross so heavy to bear. Through all around me is darkness, and earthly joys are flown. My Savior whispers His promise, never to leave me alone. No, never alone. No, never alone. He promised never to leave me alone. He died on Calvary's mountain. For me, they pierced His side. For me, He opened that fountain, crimson cleansing eyes. For me, He's waiting in glory, up on heaven's throne, because He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. No, never alone. No, never alone. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. The Lord bless you and heaven smile upon you. I'm glad. Glad for this goodness of God and the grace of God and the power of God that has brought us to safely this far and into this new year and all of the wonderful things that He has promised us and brought us over through many trials, dangers, toils, and snares. He has already brought us, and grace has brought us safe this far, and grace will lead us on. So we are blessed and highly favored. All we have coming up, the Harrisburg District meeting with Superintendent Gilmore. That will start on February the 3rd, I believe it is, February the 3rd through February the 10th. And the first Saturday meeting will be held in Philadelphia at the Holy Temple Church of God in Christ, 60th and Callahill Street. And looking forward to what God will do in that meeting as well as in our district meeting. We're hoping that God will bless quite His Spirit. On Tuesday night, Bishop Benjamin Ravenel would be preaching. On Wednesday night, Pastor Asuka Effion, he's from Nigeria, he's going to be preaching. Thursday night, the Reverend Mother Sister Katie Allen, the General National, State Supervisor and District Missionary, will be preaching on Thursday evening. And then on Friday evening, the Superintendent D.R. Gilmore will be bringing us an annual, the first year message for this year. Grateful to go into presence and enjoy the presence of the Lord with them. And then March coming up, we'll have our spring workers' meeting, which will be in March, and it'll be held at the Radisson in Camp Hill with the Bishop Benjamin Ravenhill, presiding prelate of the Church of God in Christ, Commonwealth jurisdiction. And we will be there with him. And certainly, we have great preaching, some great teaching, workshops, and some great celebrations. So I want you to be mindful of that and join us in that celebration time when we have good fellowship, good fellowship, good fellowship. And then looking forward to the Hope meeting that will come up in April just before Easter. The week before Easter, Passion Friday, will be with the those that are commemorating Mother Jane Brown. And many of you might know Mother Jane Brown, a strong, stalwart warrior in the army of the Lord, great woman of God, passed on a few years. She left a legacy, and then the legacy has been held up, and it is still being held up in the Commonwealth jurisdiction in the Hope form of the Churches of God in Christ. The At the Cross Church welcomes you on tomorrow to be with us in service. And the Bible Way Church in Carlisle, Pennsylvania, Reverend Robert Woodall is inviting you. The Emmanuel Church at 16th and Liberty is inviting you to be with them. Bishop David Scriven has a message ready for you that he has been before God and he's ready to deliver it. Faith Temple Church of God in Christ with Elder Ishmael Garcia. Ready, looking for you there. The City of Refuge, Pastor Vernell Sims on 13th Street in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. And the Grace Tabernacle on 17th Street, Pastor Walter Green. The Lingo Memorial Church at Real End Division with Bishop Benjamin Ravenel. The Millennium Church of God in Christ with a neighborhood church with Pastor Truman Marshall. It's at 21st and Hurst Street. The Bible Christian Fellowship Church is Pastor David and Verna Green, and that's at 2nd and Swartz Street. On This Rock with Pastor William Hines is at 6th Street in Harrisburg. The Family of God is at Dr. Gamble is at Jefferson and Wisconsin Street, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Mount Calvary at 5th and Menick Street, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, with Reverend Doc Gilmore. Shekinah Glory, they're worshiping in a hotel and waiting on the Lord to give them a building where they can continue their ministry and they can be blessed and be a blessing. And all of those that are waiting to hear from God and wanting the message of salvation and deliverance. And continue to pray for Mother Thelma Wright, that God will continue the work that he has begun in her. I think she's 100 years of age, or 90. She's just about 100 years of age. We're blessed and highly favored to have her with us for a period of time that God has blessed us with. And looking forward to many, many more years of wonderful, good fellowship and service. So the Lord bless you and heaven smile upon you. Until next week, the same time, same station. This has been your host, Pastor Christian Robertson, the At the Cross Church of God in Christ. But we are brought to you with the Hope Forum, holiness organization of Pentecostal Endeavor. That the Lord bless you and be real good to you. May the grace of God, the peace of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Ghost rest, rule, and abide with you now and forever. Oh, God bless you. Amen, amen, and amen. Till next week, same time, same station. Brother Chris Robertson. Be blessed. Be healed. Be delivered. And be in Jesus.